just zoomed in to meet the lovely Paul Andrews to see how he's coping in the COVID-19 that's affected all of us in the world, the whole world, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. Everybody's suffering. I've never known anything like this. I don't think any of us have. It's actually totally unprecedented. We're in very strange times.
It is. And we're learning new words, aren't we? We've had to learn things like lockdown.
Yeah.
What other new words are there?
Well, we're into pandemic and social distancing and...
pangolin.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Who knew what a pangolin was before?
I know, spiny anteaters, eh? Scaly anteaters.
Yeah, I think people are being really gung-ho and like getting on with it and adjusting really quickly, don't you?
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's lots of issues, you know, outside of the obvious issues. I've just been on the phone to my mum. And my mum's been really brilliant all the way through this.
Yeah.
But she started to get a bit upset today because she was saying, you know, she's 91 and she's saying she's just read a report that the over 70s have got to lock down and stay isolated for over a year. And she's saying, I can't do that. I just can't do that. So, you know, we're trying to come to terms with how we handle all these things. And it's also how we handle it going forward. When things start to improve a little bit and they start to let us out and what we do, it's really, really difficult. I'm not going to try and blame anybody because there's no politician, there's no government, there's no organisation that could really have planned how to deal with this.
Exactly.
It's so unprecedented.
And they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. So they were told off for being too slow on the lockdown. Now they're being told off for not letting us out. So they can't win.
And there's all different types of people with all different kinds of issues and different things they want to do. You know, we're all in this boat where we're having to muddle through. We're all going to make mistakes. Things are not going to be right, and we just have to keep adjusting as we go along. You know, there's no other way to do it. That's the way it is.
I think the gut reaction at the beginning was to be very, very strict with people, like sitting on benches. I think somebody got told off for sitting in their front garden by the police and that. And I know that there was droning, you know, showing people walking their dogs and things. And I think that's calmed down a bit. And what I'm thinking is, like, my window cleaner hasn't come. Let's talk about first world problems. But, you know, window cleaner hasn't come. Gardener hasn't come for my mum. So my mum's 89, like yours.
Yeah.
She's mowing her own lawn. She shouldn't be mowing her
own. When she's done it, can she do mine?
That's pop round. Yeah. You've got a sit.
Come on, Ruth, come and do my lawn.
You've got a ride on, haven't you?
I haven't got a lawn mower at all.
A lawn mower?
I haven't got a lawn mower at all, no.
Oh, didn't you used to have a sit and ride one?
Yeah, no, but my gardener brings that. And he's not coming, so you know it's a jungle out there.
This is what I don't understand.
I found Japanese soldiers from the Second World War in my lawn.
Did they have any rations? Because I've run out of pineapple.
Yeah.
And I can't get an olive. Any olives for love or money. Talking about food, of course. The local shops have been amazing. I know you live in a lovely town, Tenterden. I've had deliveries from the local fruit and veg. Amazing. And the Good Shed in Canterbury have delivered my fresh crab, fresh fish to me and my mum. So that's been great.
I have to say, my local village shop has been unbelievably brilliant.
Yeah.
Shop around the clock in St Michael's. They have all the basics.
Great name.
Del and his family that run it have been absolutely fabulous. They have not run out of anything, basics.
Wow.
Not price gouged anything. Yeah. All the usual price. They've been very good at only allowing three people in the shop at a time. And it's worked really well. They've been really fabulous. And I'm making a conscious effort that when this is over, I'm going to buy more stuff from them than I normally would. Because they've been an absolute godsend during this. Local businesses have saved us, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And you're right. You know, I hope the people that tend to shop in supermarkets for convenience will remember who has looked after them. And it's the same, you know, we've got local bread makers delivering loaves of bread, you know, and we've got Dunn's in Tankerton that's dropping a loaf off to my mum's every week. I phone them and I'm paying them by backs once a month. It's, you know, it's amazing.
It's like I saw on Twitter yesterday, a lady in Tunbridge Wells or West Kent somewhere said her parents, her aged parents, were unable to get a delivery slot, and they've been trying for like 5 days.
Yeah.
And immediately, Jane Apps, you know, Jane came straight on. I can deliver. What do they want? What do they need? I'll pop it round now. You know, so those local organisations, those local suppliers are the people that have saved us. And I want everyone to remember this when we come out of this, how important our local businesses and our communities have been. And it's indicative to me of what we'd lost as a society. It's that human contact. It's that knowing your neighbours. It's local suppliers go, well, we know your mum's old. You know, we know Ruth. Does she need anything? That's been lost. And here's a classic. When the government announced the CBIL scheme with the banks to loan money, the whole thing fell apart. And in my opinion, the reason it fell apart is the banks closed all their branches. They don't have branch managers. They don't know any of the businesses.
Yep, exactly.
So when a business came along and said, I want to borrow money, they went, oh, well, let's look at your numbers. No, you can't have that. But they didn't know the business. They had no connection with them. They had no relationship with them. So they weren't able to make a decision. Whereas in the old days with a bank manager, he would have known Jules Sirkin.
Yeah.
And when you walked into your branch, he would have gone, hello, Jules, what's the matter, love?
Yeah, nice top.
I need to borrow some money.
Nice top. Look, I've put a special top on, especially green. Because I would say on lockdown, my new husband has let his standards fall in dress and beard and everything. But I'm trying to, but I'm trying to keep morale up, and I make a point of having, I think keeping a routine is really important. That some people aren't working. We've got luckily quite a bit of work still, plus the extras because there's no gardener and nobody coming around to help. So I've made a point of putting a bit of blusher on, a bit of lippy, and I've done my roots.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, your roots look good.
Yeah, I changed my pyjamas once as well.
And also, we do have a meeting in the garden about 6:30, 7 o'clock for a daiquiri.
Yeah, I noticed. I've seen the pictures.
If anybody wants to know the recipe, it's a freshly squeezed grapefruit, which I got from Staines Farm Shop, delivered. Thank you, guys. They didn't just deliver one grapefruit. White rum, which I found at the back of my cocktail cabinet because I'd run out of
Christmas leftovers.
And a bit of eggnog. No, not really.
Some creme de menthe.
And then a bit of mistletoe, a squeeze of lime, and a little bit of sugar, and whiz it up, and it lots of ice. And so that's what I do. I have a little cocktail hour, just me and the old man. And this weekend, I've insisted he dresses up for it because he is slouching a bit.
So what have we got, the full dicky bow and dinner suit?
Maybe not, but maybe something a bit tropical, you know, a nice pair of shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I've made sure that we have, you know, brunch at the time that we always used to have brunch, even though, you know, because me, it's a bit like Christmas. I will stay up later and later and later watching films. You know, I'm quite a night bird. But then I would get up later and later. And I know you've ribbed me about what time I get up as it is.
Yeah.
But I've tried to get up sort of 7:38, whereas ideally I would roll out of bed about 9, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to keep that. And I make a coffee at a certain time. And so I think routine is really important.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, yeah.
Bit of structure.
Yeah, no, it is. And of course, what we need now is to see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we need to. I'm not having a go at the government for not having a plan yet, because I think we all need a plan. We all need to think about how we unwind this and what we do.
Yeah.
Because we can't just stop and all rush outside. No. That's not going to happen. I'm sure that we're going to have to wear masks. We're going to have to maintain social distancing for a long time. And there's only going to be certain things open. The things that interest me in trying to save the economy, because a lot of businesses are going to go out of business, small businesses, yeah. They just are.
And the restaurants and cafes.
And that's what worries me, is things like bars, pubs, restaurants, and big meeting places will be the last to unwind. But if what would really worry me is how you're going to do that. Because if you say to a restaurant, right, well, you can open, but you must have social spacing, so you can only have 5 people in your restaurant.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
It can actually be worse to open.
Yeah.
Than not open at all.
By the time you've paid a chef.
Exactly. By the time you've paid the staff, you've actually lost more money by being open.
Yeah, you'd probably have to have a set price, wouldn't you? And it's almost like exclusive fine dining. That would work.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because when I was thinking about this and I was thinking about how you do that, I was thinking that the only way you could make this viable is to make it like a membership-based thing.
Yeah.
So you could say to a restaurant, look, you could invite 100 members to pay a membership to be able to use your restaurant.
Yeah.
You can't have any more than 10 in a night or whatever. Mm. But if they've got the membership, if they've got the guaranteed income from those 100 members, you can plan your you can plan your opening a lot better.
Because, and also if those members could have a takeaway as well once a week or once a fortnight.
Exactly. Yeah, so basically, you've got to start building from scratch. The other thing that I think the government are really going to need to think about is that so far, all the schemes they've put in place to help us over the last couple of months, which are now starting to pay out, on its own, that's not going to save us.
No.
All that's done is held off the inevitable.
Yeah.
They've got to think about what we do when we start to unwind. And that's where it becomes crucial whether they go for lockdown or complete kickstart. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to try and kickstart the economy, they've got to do some really heavy thinking about scrapping taxes and all kinds of things and all kinds of restrictive regulations,
yeah.
At least on a temporary basis.
So we can fly again.
We can actually start trading again.
Yeah.
You know, because on last week's show, I talked to Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were saying
This was just yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Time
for So one of the things we were saying is that the government have been good and said, right, you don't have to pay your quarterly VAT bill yet. You don't have to pay your corporation tax yet. But you do have to pay that at some time.
Yeah, and you've got to find it.
So when in 3 months' time, when they say, right, you can go back to work, basically, when you open your doors again, you've got no customers, you've got no income, you've got the costs of running the business, plus you're already in debt because you didn't pay the last quarters.
Yeah, you're backpedaling before you even start.
That is what will kill businesses. Mm. Yeah, because a business will look at that and go, I can't recover from that. It's the slope is too steep.
Yeah.
I can't recover from that. So we're going to need a growth plan at that point that says, you haven't got to pay this back yet. Or do you know what? I know it's a massive hit to the economy, but I think they've got to write it off.
Yeah, I think they should. But we're all going to be paying much higher taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and our kids' generation.
The effects of this are global.
Yeah.
And there's ramifications for years and years and years, maybe decades.
I think talking about the government, they were very slow on the PPE, the personal protective equipment, and definitely in the care homes. I mean, it's awful to watch the care home stories.
The problem with all of that is that it's all great in hindsight. But, you know, when you plan something, you can only plan with what you can envisage, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so can you imagine what would have happened if the government had stockpiled, I don't know, 40 billion quid's worth of
PPE.
Face masks,
yeah.
And we didn't need it? Everybody would be going mad. They'd be going, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
It's always great in hindsight, these things. And of course, the Germans haven't got any PPE. The Irish haven't got any PPE. You know, they're flying stuff in from China now. And now the story's changed. I don't know if you've seen this morning.
No.
But what they're saying is, it's not the shortage of PPE, it's the fact that PPE is one size fits all. So they tend to make them for blokes.
So oh, right.
PPE doesn't really help females in the healthcare sector.
And it has to fit properly. That's the whole point.
And that's the whole point. And they're saying it doesn't. And that's why it's no good. So there's so many different issues here.
But if you look at Vietnam, their figures, they seem to have handled it really, really well. But whether we're getting the true figures...
Well, that's the problem, you don't know.
And whether we got the true figures from Beijing. And I'm pretty sure, from what I've read, that China knew, you know, held this back from us for months.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you know what? I'm absolutely 99.9% sure my mum had COVID in January.
Well, funny you should say that, because my hairdresser in Herne Bay, about three of her staff said exactly the same thing. They had a nasty dry cough. They couldn't get rid of it. They felt awful. Temperature, sweating in the bed. And the driving instructor that they all knew very well had been to China in December.
Yeah.
So I think you may well be right.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end of our... is that you playing the maracas there?
Yeah, it's fun.
I thought you were on an xylophone. We're coming to the end of our little chat, Paul, and it's been really nice to connect with you. I know we've had a few texts and things, and but I have missed the old bunker rants and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's nice to talk to you and to know that you're still hanging in there.
Yeah. How much weight have we put on?
Oh, don't even go there. Do you know what? Before this, I was doing really well. I'd lost a stone and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all back.
Yeah. But are you doing your daily walk?
My what?
Daily exercise.
My daily what?
Exercise. Oh. Sorry, I thought it was your hearing there. Well, I am walking, and it's interesting to see so many people, you know, where I live, joggers and cyclists that I haven't seen. They're all new. So maybe... The one takeaway from this is that many people can work from home or from hot desking, and they don't need these big corporates.
But oh, that's
time. Can I zoom in with you again next week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. So from me and Paul Andrews, I'm in sunny Whitstable and Paul's in sunny Tenterden. Paul's going to carry on now with the business bunker, and I'll speak to you very soon. Goodbye.